Today is the second Sunday after Pentecost, and we have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass at the communion rail today. And then at 6 p.m. this evening, we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. This Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, and also before the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we will have our holy hour from 7 to 8 p.m. this Thursday, followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And then Friday, the first Friday of the month, is the Feast, as I said, of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There will be solemn Mass at 9 a.m., and then solemn benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. This Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, and it will be the usual Mass time of 8:30. But we want to remind you what was promised by Our Lady to those who have the devotion of assisting at Mass on consecutive first Saturdays. Here is the quote to Sister Lucy. Here's what the Blessed Mother said to her in 1925. So this was after the Blessed Mother appeared to the children in 1917. She appeared at a special apparition was given to Sister Lucy. The Blessed Mother said, "I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months shall confess," meaning going to confession, "receive Holy Communion, and recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, with the intention of making reparation to me." And it was also revealed that the five types of offenses and blasphemies that are committed against her Immaculate Heart, this was told to Sister Lucy, and here they are. You've heard them before, but it is always good to hear these for oneself or one's neighbor, or to pray for sinners who commit these sins. First, blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception. Like stupid references to a football game 40 years ago, changing the words, making a play on words. Second, blasphemies against her virginity. That is extremely common today. That is extremely offensive to God. Blasphemies against her divine maternity in refusing at the same time to recognize her as the mother of men. The blasphemies of those who publicly seek to sow in the hearts of children indifference or scorn or even hatred of this Immaculate Mother. Virtually every Protestant that we've converted says how they were told never to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. In fact, often to have a disdain for her, almost to treat her as a lower than human. That's how they treat her, because of their hatred, which is a demonic attitude. Who could hate or show indifference to the Holy Mother of God? And the last one, the offenses of those who outrage her directly in her holy images. So those who attack statues or pictures or have disdain for them, as virtually every Protestant does. So we are here to make up for those offenses. Next Sunday, as I think everybody knows here, June 5th, is First Holy Communion Sunday. So the Mass time will change to 9 a.m. next Sunday. And there will be a reception in the hall afterwards so that everybody can greet and congratulate children. Not to ignore them on the holiest day of their life, because it's even greater. The day of your first Holy Communion is greater than the day you're baptized, because baptism is merely a preparation for a soul to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure everybody will want to greet them. Many years ago, there was an individual who refused, after the father told the people to make sure you greet the children, he deliberately refused to see the children. What kind of a black heart is that? And you know what? To this day, he's just wallowing in his misery because he never had the courage or the humility to say he was sorry, or even he was invited to come back here. This is over 20 years ago. Without even saying sorry, just come back to Mass. No, don't tell me what to do. That's what he said. So I say that because that's a horrible attitude, and that's what happened to him. So again, next Sunday, 9 a.m., Mass for the First Holy Communion children. Collection envelopes will be distributed by the ushers after Holy Communion today. And today, we will just make a brief remark about tomorrow's secular holiday of Memorial Day. That day was instituted by our country, first in states and then in the whole country, after the Civil War, to honor the fallen soldiers on both sides. It was something like 425,000 men during that terrible war were killed. And this is to pray for them. And it used to be called Decoration Day because it was a custom to go to the cemeteries and decorate the graves of these fallen soldiers. Now, of course, it's been expanded to deceased soldiers, men and now women, who have given their lives for our country, to defend the country. Even though most of the wars, if not all, have been immoral, they have done their duty. And we thank them and soldiers who are still alive for their service and for their dedication, but especially those who have died, so that we can have the country today, even though it has many faults and problems. It's still the best place on earth. And guess where most military, their number one place to retire? This city, Colorado Springs. So that's why we are grateful for what they've done. So remember to pray at today's Mass for the soldiers who have died for us. Now, Father Ward wanted me to give you this announcement that it's been some time since he has made himself available to greet you, or for you to greet him after the Mass. So he said that after this Mass, if you wish, he will be in the smaller of the two new offices. And if you wish to stop there and say hello or give him an update on what's been happening in your lives or ask for prayers or whatever, you can spend a few minutes. Of course, the last time that happened a few years ago, the line was very long, so you have to be considerate of those at the end of the line. So if you wish to do that, you can do so. And he wanted to do this because he's not as present among the people as he used to be when he was the only priest. So he wishes to do this every so often. So that'll be after Mass today. We have a lot to say about today's Mass and also a great feast. So briefly, what the saints are for this week. Today is the feast of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. Tomorrow, St. Felix the First, great Pope, but also St. Joan of Arc, the great saint who was pivotal in preserving the Catholic faith in France centuries ago. But she, like so many others, for being faithful to God, and even in her weakness when she was being pressured to recant what she had seen from God and the Blessed Mother, she died, as you know, burned at the stake by Catholics, English Catholics. Such a terrible thing. But anyway, her feast is tomorrow. The rest are on the announcements, but Tuesday we have to say something about the Blessed Virgin Mary and her queenship. Now, you know, the month of May begins with St. Joseph the Worker, May 1st. So it's capped by this beautiful feast of the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is a very recent feast. In fact, it was Pope Pius XII on the feast of the maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in 1954. He instituted this feast. And as the custom is for many centuries, popes, when they issue a decree or institute a feast, before they do that, they, if they wish, they solicit the opinions or devotion of the bishops, priests, and even the laity. And there was unanimous support to have a feast like this. Now, why do we have this feast honoring her as our queen? It all comes from the fact that she is the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus Christ, who is our King. The moment he started forming, took his humanity in her womb, he was not only possessing a human nature, hypostatically united to his divine nature, divine being, but he became a priest and a king. And so he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Well, the mother of the king is often called the queen mother. And so that is why her queenship exists, because of the kingship of her son. Of course, it is subordinate to him and to his kingship. She is a creature. Doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't it tell the haters and the attackers of the Blessed Virgin Mary something? She was created by God to have this beautiful vocation to be Mother of God, because she was to give birth to the Son of God in a holy and virginal manner. And also because she is called co-redemptrix. Now, in our English language, when we hear the word co-redemptrix or any title with that word co, it means, okay, there's another person who has that same dignity, or a whole group of people who have that, and they're all equal on the same level. It doesn't mean that when it's in the original Latin. Co-redemptrix means subordinate to God, who is the mediator between God and men. But God decided to do something. And I like to bring, in a very kind and gentle manner, because most Protestants, they, when they come here, they're very sincere, usually, or we want to be as indulgent in explaining things, because most often, really, they have been indoctrinated as children, so they don't know, especially these days. So I take them into the Shrine of the Blessed Mother. And I say, see that statue showing the Blessed Mother with her heart exposed and has these swords? That shows the sufferings that she endured for all of us. As she was standing at the foot of the cross when her son died to make up for our sins, because he loves us. And in Latin, underneath the statue says, Ecce Mater Tua, right from the scripture, because their big thing is scripture. They ignore tradition. It's right in scripture. Behold your mother. The Son of God is about to die. He's saying, behold. In other words, listen, here is your mother. He's saying that to St. John, who represents the entire human race for all time. And then he says to her, behold your son. So that was the day she became the mother of all men in a very spiritual and real way. So whenever you have a need or you're in trouble or you're in dire straits, you call upon your mother. I'm sure many of you have done that. I've done it. No one knows what priests, especially these days, have to endure or suffer to perform their duties. And God gives them the grace to persevere and to carry on. But often, they have to call upon their mother priest, to do that. And she's always there. She's our mother and our queen. And that's why we cannot ignore her. That's why we pray to her. That's why we say our rosary. And if we make mistakes, so we're negligent or lukewarm, okay, we admit it, apologize to God, say, I'm very sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've treated your mother. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to amend my life. And she will assist us. So, that is briefly what this whole month is about, dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, but especially under this title of Queenship of this great person. And that's why, if possible, please come to Mass on that day. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. John's first epistle. Beloved, do not be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In this we have come to know his love, that he laid down his life for us, and we likewise ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He who has the goods of this world and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? My dear children, Let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to tell those invited to come, for everything is now ready. And they all, with one accord, began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returned and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Sir, thy order has been carried out and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and make them come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those who are invited shall taste of my supper. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Sunday that falls between the feasts, great feasts of Corpus Christi and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, has elements of both, as you probably noticed, because the epistle is all about St. John telling his people, his disciples, and those he preached to for years about the importance of charity, of love of God, love of neighbor. And he says, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue. So some may misinterpret this and say, okay, I really don't have to say to anyone I love them, because St. John says that. Now, as we've told people, how often Catholics and non-Catholics misinterpret the scriptures, or they have their private interpretation and they get into trouble. And even St. Paul says that, as we've said before. In his epistles, he says that there have been Christians who have, rather St. Peter says this about St. Paul, who've read the epistles of Paul, as he calls them, and what happens? It leads to their destruction because they are misinterpreting Scripture. So St. John is saying we love in deed and in truth. That means our works, our good works, often speak much louder than by what we say. If we don't back up what we're saying by what we do. And it says, loving in truth. How can someone show true charity when they are living a lie by the way they live or by practicing a false worship that they know is false and they deliberately adhere to error? So that is the connection to the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now I know that there are some that cannot come because of work or circumstances on this Friday. But as you've heard, most of you have heard, this feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is all about how we return in some small way love to our Lord for what he has done, for loving us first, for creating us, for giving us the true faith. For giving us a safe place to live, but above all, for giving us all these spiritual benefits of the Mass and sacraments. For having four priests taking care of you, even with their faults. We are sinners. Every priest is a sinner, just like everyone else. That's why our Lord chose them, men, instead of angels. Because only men can know what it means to sin and to be sorry, to ask for forgiveness, and to accept the apologies of those who are sorry. Now, that today's gospel, which is a very unusual parable that our Lord told. Now, he spoke it to the Pharisees, his archenemies. These were the Jewish leaders that were faithful to the law, at least they were supposed to be, but then they added their own laws to make themselves more important, to puff themselves up, and also to put down the people and to make it, practicing religion, very difficult and tedious. So the whole story, the parable, is about a supper, and of course that is the Mass. And by extension, heaven itself, a great supper where all were invited. Now it says at the beginning, he invited many. But all of a sudden, when they are told about coming, they start giving excuses, phony excuses. And it says, everyone with one accord, they were all giving excuses why they can't come to the supper. And there are so many people, for centuries, who have been given a chance or an opportunity, an invitation to assist at the Holy Mass or to be a Catholic, and they snub our Lord. And they come up with these stupid excuses. Buying a farm, buying 5 yoke of oxen, getting married. God comes first. That's the way we are. We're created for heaven and to help others get to heaven. And the Master, who is God, was very angry because these people didn't come. The banquet, the supper, the great celebration, which is the Mass, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, it was empty, or hardly anybody was there. So he tells his servants, go out and bring in even those second-class people, because he calls them the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Because these people were more likely to come because of their humble and poor circumstances. Because God wants his house to be filled. And our Lord gives an injunction in this parable to the Pharisees. He's telling this to them. That none of those who are invited shall taste of my supper. It's saying that those who are rude and reject our Lord's invitations, which for us, the grace of invitation to assist at Mass more often or to be faithful to our spiritual duties, all those graces from God. We can lose all of those. We can lose heaven itself if we are not generous, sincere. And a real big one for me and for all of us, for the priests here, gratitude. I've said this before, but the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is a Mass of thanksgiving. Did you know that? It's worship. Our Lord is reenacting his passion and death in an unbloody manner, offering worship to his Father out of love for him, to apply to us, the faithful, what he won on Calvary. So it's a renewing of his death on the cross. And it makes up for our sins. And we can make up for our sins by saying we're sorry and being sincere about it, not just saying the words. And the last form of prayer, petition, asking God for blessings for ourselves and our neighbor. You notice the one I omitted briefly. It is thanksgiving. Now I type out the announcements, you probably know that, so I save this last one here, which is one that may not seem important, but it is very important. Thanking God for everything he gives us. So I want to thank, and we do, all the priests, seminarians, we want to thank those of you who, whether it's once a year or every Monday, clean this chapel, house of God, who clean the other rooms, who clean the hall, place for you to relax after the Mass and have refreshment. We thank you for doing that. We thank the ladies who are in the altar linens, the care and respect you show for these sacramentals. You will have a higher place in heaven for doing that. Because these are the linens that touch the Blessed Sacrament. We want to thank the people, the men, I think I saw three of them, but there might have been more, who took a whole day to cut the grass on the south side there at the front there and made the whole area nice and neat. I'm grateful for that. We are. Because they're doing it for God. It's all for God. I have sometimes prayed to God, I thank you for all eternity for what you've done for me, for all of us, for giving us the faith, for giving us this oasis of happiness and material, but especially spiritual gifts that are denied to everyone else. Thank you. Thank you, Blessed Mother, for some reason. I think it was just, must have gotten it from my parents or some other example of someone early in life. I have no problem, and it's definitely a grace because it's a saying, please and thank you and I'm sorry. Sometimes it's hard to say you're sorry when you've offended someone. Sometimes it's difficult for people to say please because they feel like they're lowering themselves beneath their neighbor. But so often people can't say thank you for the littlest things. Well, how are you going to thank God for what he's giving you just today? Keeping you on the straight and narrow. So say thank you. And when you do that, you will be part of that banquet, that heavenly banquet, and you won't be excluded at the end. So those are our remarks for today. And if you, as I said, wish to say hello to Father or tell him something important that you, it's important in your life right now, whatever it may be, this is the time to do it. Because as you know, his time is very precious with all his responsibilities. We will now resume our Mass, and we will be, our prayer for all of you will be that you have greater charity, greater love of our Lord in his Sacred Heart. Don't forget to light candles on the Feast of Sacred Heart. Do you know on Easter, by the way, no one lit any candles in our Lord's shrine. Did you know that? Because I am the one that replaces my... Many are lit in the Blessed Mother's shrine. That's good, but that's a great devotion because that candle represents you when you leave the chapel. So remember that. And remember to be grateful and to say thank you to God. And God bless you.